time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, a ministry and outreach of Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. We will be talking to you today about how to study in context in our worship and in wellness. Sister Lenny will be sharing with us how to get rest. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Bell, Sister Maria, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and have worship. And now we pray for your Spirit to teach us this morning the things we need to know for such a time as this. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your Spirit, and bless us this morning as we continue to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Good morning again. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about studying in context. I'd like to have prayer, and then I will begin. Father, bless us as we study the word. We pray that you will lead us and guide us today on this preparation day. We pray for your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I pastored a church once. I'm not going to tell you where because this is not to embarrass anybody. But I pastored a church once, and I contacted the people just to do a welfare check, just to check on the saints. And I found out, which I had heard some things, but I found out that pretty much, which really shocked me, almost everything we believe, they no longer believe. They don't believe the Sabbath is binding. They don't believe in the time prophecies leading to 1844. They don't believe Ellen White is an inspired prophet. They have different views on just about everything. And so I was in a conversation. It was not an argument. It was a very cordial conversation. And I was, you know, after the conversation, praying and saying, Lord, how can it be that, now I believe in new light, brothers and sisters, and I have researched some things and studied things, and I've come to some conclusions that might be different from what I was taught when I came into the truth, okay? But I'm not. It's not everything, you know. The Sabbath is still Saturday. 1844 still happened. Jesus did move from the holy to the most holy place in 1844. The papacy is still the beast of Revelation 13, 1 through 10, and the mark of the beast is still Sunday worship. Those things have not changed, and what has changed were more minor things, but they were nonetheless things that were different. So new light can come, but it doesn't disagree with the old light. Sometimes we can assume certain things, but when you go search it in the scriptures, you find it's not so. So I don't really want to go into the things that are different, but I can say, like, I can tell you that I was never taught as I came into truth that the feet of Daniel 2 represent the Roman Catholic Church. But that's exactly what it means. You have Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. What happened after Rome? It became Papal Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. You have, right after the legs of iron, you got feet of iron and clay. And clay represents the church. Iron represents the state of Rome, okay, through the legs. Jeremiah 18, I believe it is, the chapter about the potter, from which we get the song, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. You know, that scripture, it's in Jeremiah 18. So the point I'm making is that was something God revealed to me through personal study, you see. So it just expanded my understanding of things. There are some other subjects, one or two, but the point being made, it was nothing earth-shattering, okay? Now, the people I used to pastor no longer believe in the Sunday law. They don't believe that the Sabbath is binding. They don't even think they worship on Saturday, they said, but that's just out of tradition. That's what I was told yesterday. So, you know, that. So the bottom line is I asked myself, Lord, how could we go from all this truth to rejecting all this truth? And God showed it to me. I wrote him a letter. I'm going to send it. But this is a message that deals with it. You see, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, I believe it's 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have the example of Jesus. He always said, is it written? It is written, rather, how readest thou? Jesus used scriptures. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:14, maybe. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the scriptures do contain the truth. But if the devil can convince you that the scripture does not apply, listen carefully to the Holy Spirit as he's speaking through me. If the devil can convince you that the scripture does not apply to you, he can deceive you and you can believe almost anything. And that is exactly what has happened, brothers and sisters. So we got into a discussion on what's called context, the context. So when they read the Old Testament, they apply Daniel 7:25, things to change, times and laws, to sometime back in Daniel's time. The context can only be limited to Daniel's time. So I want to ask a question. Does the Bible teach we should study that way? Does the Bible teach that we should limit the context to only that time, or does the Bible say we should accept all possible applications of the context? That is the question. Okay? I'm going to give it to you again. Does the Bible teach, when I read a scripture, that I should limit the context of that scripture to what, you know, that person, that group, that time period, or should I accept that it can apply to any time period that's not excluded by the scripture? Okay? And the answer is, we're going to find out what the answer is. Let's go to the Bible in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, this is after Jesus died on Calvary, and that's very important because one of the things that my former members believe today is that everything was done at the cross. The atonement was done. Everything was done at the cross. Everything was fulfilled at the cross and all of that. So watch this. Let's see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. We're reading verse 25, and this is after the cross. It says, then he said unto them, this is after he was resurrected, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Jesus talking. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, talking about dying on the cross, and to enter into his glory? So he separated dying on the cross from entering into the glory with the conjunction and. And means it's two separate things. Okay? So he said, look at what the prophet said. Am I not to have died, suffered these things, and to enter into my glory? So the bottom line is, to enter into his glory, he had to be resurrected. And his glory, brothers and sisters, is his high priest ministry. So the prophet of the Old Testament, Christ is saying, not only focus on their time, but their words focus on his death and the future ministry in his glory in heaven. Let's see what it says. Therefore, in verse 27, the very next verse, and beginning at Moses, Moses wrote Genesis, by the way, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, is that only himself on the 33 years of his life and death? No, he already said the prophet spoke of his time leading up to his suffering and his glory. So the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of 1844. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of 2023. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of whenever Christ is going to come. He's still in his glory. You can't take his glory away. He's still in his glory, brothers and sisters. Can we say amen? Amen. So they're studying the wrong way, and they're limiting the context in such a way that the word of God does not apply to them. And so they changed everything they used to believe, and they are believing a lie. We walked over 50, you know, Catholic Church, Sunday law, they don't believe in any of that anymore. Don't even believe the Sabbath is binding. None of that. They don't believe any of it. Simply because they can look at a scripture and say, okay, we got to apply this scripture. This was the book of Acts. So we got to say what was happening in the book of Acts. Let's see if the Bible says we should study that way. Let's go in our Bibles now, brothers and sisters, to Romans chapter 15. Let's see if the Bible agrees with that method of study. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is Romans. So he's saying what they wrote back there in Genesis is now for the New Covenant time, for the New Testament time, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. If it doesn't apply to me, it can't give me any hope. But if it applies to me, I can get hope. We have even a better scripture. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 11, brothers and sisters. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, when you read verses before that, it's talking about all that they went through in the Old Testament. Okay? A lot of their murmurings, complainings, challenging. It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. That means the context is not to be limited to that time, and they are written for our admonition, and not only just us. It's going to extend to all those to the end of time. What does the Bible say, brothers and sisters, about how we should deal with context? The Bible says we should extend the context to every person and every time period that it can apply unless it is specifically excluded by the text. There are some exclusions. But the bottom line, if you don't read a specific exclusion, then it is for us, my brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? Let me give you another scripture. Let's go to the book of Isaiah now. In Isaiah chapter 28. See, I'm telling you why people don't accept Sabbath. I'm telling you why they don't accept the 2300-day prophecy and all these. Because they don't know how to study the Bible. And they use this wrong method of study where you limit the context. And they say, oh, that was the Jewish dispensation. That doesn't apply to us. And if you can cause the word of the living God not to apply to you, you are in deep trouble. The word applies, brothers and sisters, unless it's specific. Now, there are stories that apply to different people, the story of Nineveh, the story of that, and we know that was a – but what lesson can we learn from it? And when the Bible speaks of a – in a prophetic way or gives us a command, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Remember the Sabbath day. Oh, that was just for the Jews. No, it was not for the Jews. It's an eternal commandment. We're going to prove that to you. But anyway, we're going now to Isaiah 28, and we're looking at verse 9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So we're talking about Bible study here. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now, we don't have time to go into that. We have a full study on that. Weaned means to be humble, according to Psalm 131. The milk that made you humble is the first principle, the oracles of God. That means a relationship with Jesus. That is Hebrews 5:12, and I think 1 Peter 2:2. Don't quote me on that second one. Drawn from the breast. The breast belongs to the mother, and a woman in the Bible is a church. So if you want to follow Jesus, you've got to be willing to leave your mother church. Didn't say you have to leave your mother church. Maybe your mother church is teaching the truth. But if it's not teaching the truth, you've got to leave. Drawn from the breast. Them, this is who's going to know the truth. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. That means all the teachings of the Bible are consistent, and that's a principle, and they don't follow that principle, because if they followed that principle, they would not let the Bible disagree with itself. You can, well, that context was only for that. So even though this says something that doesn't agree with that, that was for that context. You see what I'm saying? All the Bible agrees, brothers and sisters. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Now, line upon line means that you look at a verse and look at the context in which it is written, okay? So in other words, if you read a scripture that said if your arm offends you, cut it off, read above, read below that to see what it's talking about. That's a right use of context, because you're just trying to understand that scripture in its bearing. But that doesn't mean that that scripture is only limited to that time. It just means that you understand that scripture by looking in the context to understand it better. Then you can make application broad as the scriptures tell us to do. It says line upon line, line upon line. Then it says here a little. And there, a little. So if the context only applies to here with the Jewish dispensation, then it doesn't apply there to the Christian dispensation. The Bible says here a little and there a little. All of it together. The scriptures teach that you study in context, applying it to all possible time periods in which it can apply, unless the verse is clearly excluding that. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, they're in deep trouble. Pray for them. I'm not going to mention any names. That's not what this is all about. Maybe I might even send them this video. But it's how they study is the problem. And that one error will lead you into all kinds. That one error of how to study will lead you into almost every other error. And so when you study Daniel 7:25 and it talks about this power with faith to change times and laws. They don't apply that to Roman Catholic Church changing the Sabbath and therefore the time dividing time. They would put that way back in the Old Testament sometime. But it's not, my friend. It's not. Because the bottom line is, that was the fourth beast. The fourth beast is Rome. And Rome had a little horn. So it hadn't even happened yet. That was future to that time. You follow what I'm saying? And so I just wanted us to understand how important it is to understand this simple concept that when you read a scripture, apply it to your life, apply it to every possible application it can apply. Let me go to another scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he said, from a child you know the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Well, the only scriptures that they had was the Old Testament, because the new was still in the process of being written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the writings of Paul, they were in the process of being written. So the scriptures that they could confirm were already written was the Old Testament. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, to which are able to make thee wise. That means they apply to you, they make you wise unto salvation. Notice what it says. All scripture, not some, all is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means it has to apply to me for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so, my friends, the devil doesn't want you to understand that the Bible applies to you. And he wants you to take the Old Testament. And, you know, we were talking about the covenants. Let me take you to another scripture. And they were talking about, you know, the Old Covenant. And I was just trying to help the individual understand. We didn't have much time to deal with it. But if you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 26, and you look at verse 4, okay, let me just start with verse 1, because God gives a covenant to Abraham. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. That was the covenant that he swore to Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. You see, the Bible tells us in Galatians the seed is Christ. So Christ came from the seed of Abraham, and that's how all the nations are blessed, through Christ. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We read that. Because this is why God gave the covenant to Abraham, because he said he gave Abraham this oath. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws. The new covenant was the Abrahamic covenant, the everlasting covenant. The old covenant came later. This is in the book of Genesis. The old covenant came after the Ten Commandments was given. And so some people limit and magnetize the Ten Commandments to the old covenant. But Abraham was a keeper of God's law. Abraham kept the Sabbath. Abraham wouldn't kill. He wouldn't steal. The Sabbath was given at creation. The reason why the covenant is called old is because it was ratified first. You see, it's ratified by the blood. And after the Ten Commandments was given and they gave the faulty promise, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. God had them kill an animal and spill the blood. So that's ratified the agreement between them and God. They violated it because as soon as Moses went into the mountain, they went out and worshiped a golden calf. But that didn't do away with the original covenant that he gave to Abraham. Let me prove it to you, brothers and sisters. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Let's just start with verse 1. Let's see what our time is looking like. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes to the bottom of the hour. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That's what I would say to those wonderful people. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Watch this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Friends, you can read this also in the book of Romans. But if we keep reading, it is very, very clear. Abraham received the everlasting covenant, the new covenant. That's why they're using Abraham as an example, telling you that your righteousness comes as a result of faith, not as a result of your law keeping. So law keeping doesn't save you. Saved people keep the law. But law keeping doesn't save you, friends. And that's important. We don't get what we get because of what we do. It's because of our relationship with Christ. He imbues us, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. He lives in us, gives us pardon for our sins of the past, and then power to obey. That's the new covenant. But remember, Abraham kept God's law. That's why he gave him that covenant in Genesis. He called it an oath at that time, but it was a covenant. So the Ten Commandments is still binding. It just doesn't save you. It never did save anybody. And the old covenant was based on righteousness by work. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Righteousness by faith is my right doing comes from my faith in Christ. My faith doesn't excuse my right doing. It empowers me to do right. So the Sabbath is still binding, friends. It doesn't take away the Sabbath commandment, just like it doesn't take away killing, stealing, lying, committing adultery, worshiping idols. None of that is done away with at the cross, my friends. And so they've got it all wrong. Abraham had the new covenant, my friends, and the Bible says of him, he was a commandment keeper, and this is long before the law was given to Moses on tables of stone in Sinai. And so as I wrap this up, my friends, I just want you to understand the Bible teaches that when you study, you should apply the context and expand it to every possible application. For it's the truth. Why wouldn't you? It's the truth. It's what guides us into truth. Why would you limit it when it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Should they have only had the lamp back then? No, we have the lamp and we have the light. It lights our path. It applies to us. And so we could go over everything. We could go over each point and show how they use this context to do away with the Sabbath, do away with the understanding of the papacy and its role, do away with the mark of the beast, all of that. They have a contextual limitation to say, oh, that applied to Maccabees who was that guy? Anyway, that they apply one of the prophecies to I forgot the guy's name, Antiochus, I forgot who it was. But anyway, one of the prophecies that apply in the future or apply future to that time to the papacy, so on and so forth, they apply to a particular official or I forgot whether it was a Jewish or a Roman official. But the bottom line is that's a wrong application because he doesn't even fit the context, you know. Another thing that the people that I was used to pastor do is that I heard they do. I can't really say it because I haven't asked them, but I heard that they attribute the time period of the beginning of the 70-week prophecy. I don't even know if they even believe that anymore, but at one point in time, they were studying that and said that it was the first decree. It's not the first decree. I think the first one was by Cyrus, and you had one by Darius, and you had one by Artaxerxes. You study them carefully. Cyrus and Darius only gave a decree to build Jerusalem. The Bible says the decree to build and restore Jerusalem. That means you got to restore the government. You got to have laws. You got to have a penalty system and restore the infrastructure, not just build the building. And that was not done until Artaxerxes. He is the one that gave the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. May God bless you today, friends. I hope this has been helpful to you. A lot of people reject truth because they don't understand how the context of a scripture is to be applied. It is to be applied and expanded to every possible application. And because it's truth, it is not to be limited to a specific short time period and excluding everybody else. And that is what the devil does, so he can make you think the Bible does not apply to you. May God bless us as we study. Amen. Father, be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All right, friends, we're going to have a transition, and then we will come back and hear a message of health and hope from Sister Lenny, how to get rest. It's time for our torso song as our intermission period begins.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, run from the scale, The battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
And now we'll hear from Sister Lenny, how to get ready.
Good morning. Happy Friday. How to get rest. You know, there's a couple of people that I know, they would tell me all the time that, what's the difference? Rest and sleep is the same, but it's not the same. When you're resting, it's like you're bringing back something that was taken. You're restoring. You can meditate. And this can also include sleeping or napping. It's just different. When you're sleeping and napping and you're supposed to be resting, it's entirely different from being asleep. You can stretch. You can be getting a massage. You can receive aromatherapy. You can even be taking deep breaths, listening to calm music to be rested. When you sleep, your eyes are closed. Yes, your eyes are closed when you're resting as well, but it's a difference. When you are asleep, your eyes are closed. Your muscles relaxed, your mind and body are relaxed, you're not aware of your surroundings. You are unconscious. You know, so there is a difference, you know, just doing that little research right there. There's a big difference. In the concordance of your Bible, you will find Bible texts on rest. And I looked them up, and they're very encouraging, so I encourage you to read them as well. But the best rest to me is this. Go to bed and wake up at regular times every day. Go to bed no later than 9:30 every night. Never eat within 5 hours of bedtime. It is permissible, though not encouraged, to retire after 2 hours if the only food eaten was fruit with Zwieback crackers or air popcorn. Don't behold or dwell on negative things before going to bed. Sleep in a well-ventilated room. Read and meditate on some scripture before going to bed. Drinking a relaxing tea before going to bed if you have trouble sleeping. The ratio of the tea mixture is 1 teaspoon of the bulk herb to 1 cup of water that has just been boiled. Allow the herb to steep in the tea for 10 to 15 minutes. Do not add sweetener to the tea. Relaxing tea can be made with any combination of the following herbs: chamomile, peppermint, hops, skullcap, valerian, and lady slippery. This information is coming from Overcome Disease, The Refreshing Way, page 75, plus some little research that I did. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful Friday.
Amen. What a blessing. Praise God. Roll call. We've got our dear sister Angela on Facebook from South Carolina. We have on the call representation from Ohio, from Maryland, from Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. My dear sister, we might be playing a little phone tag from Iowa. I called you. I know you called me back. Maybe you want to make sure that just go ahead and reach back out anytime. We have Oklahoma. We have Georgia. And we have Missouri. And finally, the island of Bermuda on the call. All right, friends, the phone lines are open. And I'm having to remember to go to the chat now, so if I've been forgetting that, so if I've missed something in the last day or two, please forgive me, Sister Cabin. But anyway, between the chat, for those who are in Sister Cabin's position, who are overseas or just going online to get to our program, you can get it on an iPad and that type of thing. Or if you're on the call, just press *6. We've got Sister Wendy on the call, and we also have our dear sister from Iowa on the call. And we have Sister Odessa on the call. So we've got 3 callers. Okay, Sister Wendy, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to say that I have truly been blessed with the last yesterday's message and today's message. And, you know, God has blessed you over and over again, and I thank you because you do teach the scriptures. And you know why I know? Because I've been studying the Bible since I was back in school, and I'm 89 years old now. And so when you go to these scriptures and everything, I know that you're speaking the truth. And, you know, I feel sorry for the church that's gone astray. Because when I studied God's word, first of all, I pray that he would give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that's what he does. And like the Bible says, we're to search the scriptures for ourselves to see whether or not they're true. And that is so, you know, so many people do not know how to study God's word. But whatever we need to know, we can ask God, and he will reveal it to us. because he knows our heart. And my prayer is each day, Father, give me a pure heart, because in his word, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I tell you, God brought you into my life because for a time such as these. And I just give him praise and thanking him because he has truly blessed me over and over again. And I'm going to get off the line because there's so much I can say. But I just keep me and the family in prayer, and I will be praying for all of those people who are going astray who you used to pastor. It is so sad because if they pray and ask God, he will enlighten them, give them so that they will know the truth. Because God does not have any respect of person, and if he does it for me, he will do it for everybody else. So everybody on the line, have a blessed day. And thank you again, Pastor and Sister Marie, for the ministry and for letting God lead you all to teach us the truth, because truly we're in the last days and Jesus is soon to come. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for our dear mother in Israel. You know, we have actually three that listen on a regular basis. My mom doesn't comment much. I don't think she's ever commented. But the bottom line, we have Sister Winston. We have Mother Harriet as well. So Sister Winston's 89. Mother Harriet is well in her 90s. And so we're just grateful that God has preserved them. And this is proof that when you follow God, you don't have to have dementia. You don't have to have these conditions. And we're not saying a person who has these conditions hasn't followed God at all, but I'm just here to tell you some people just think that that's a natural process of aging, and in actuality, it doesn't have to be. So God bless you. We're going to move to our next caller, and that's going to be our dear Sister Leilani from Iowa. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
My question is, when you're teaching Catholics or you're a friend of a Catholic, how do you teach them, or where do you start? I mean, if you just start teaching them that they're wrong, there's rejection. So where do you start in teaching them about God?
You know, the two things God has given us, medical missionary work and publishing, to break down barriers. A person can't argue with a book. Now they can throw a book down, but the book's not going to argue back. It takes two to argue. So publishing is good, and the book Great Controversy gives church history. It just leads them to understand that the Catholic Church took over the Christian Church. So it's just church history, but they will see which side it's on. So maybe you might want to just start with giving them a book, A Great Controversy. Okay, that might be a place to start. If you're going to actually have Bible studies with them, just, you know, there's a lot that they don't know. There's things like forgiveness of sin, the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior. You probably would start with more milk of the Word and then lead into more of the meat of the Word. But, you know, because they believe that you're forgiven by a Catholic priest in a confessional box. So that's not what the Bible says. So you kind of go through even some of those fundamental principles would show that what they're teaching is not correct. The state of the dead, that ends up being something that they introduced into Christianity, and it's totally unbiblical that the dead are already in heaven or in hell or in purgatory. So just by teaching basic truths, it reveals. Definitely you want to be led by the Spirit, but again, I would definitely have publishing be a part of that. Medical missionary work, of course, as you meet their needs, you'll win their confidence. So those are just some initial thoughts that I have. And sometimes, you know, referring them to messages that you have seen on TV, TV, internet, satellite, whatever it is, messages from truth teaching ministers, that might help them as well. So I hope that was an answer that would be helpful to you.
And also, how do I get on Facebook?
Okay. Facebook is a application that you can put on your phone or computer. You have to sign up for it, and you can add information and you can post things, and as you put your name, people who know you end up finding you, and you end up with Facebook friends. So if you got on
Facebook, how do I friend you?
Okay, you already have a Facebook account?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so my name is spelled S-H-E-L-E-M and then F-L-E-M-O-E-S.
Could you repeat that?
S-H-E-L-E-M as in mother. And then Flemons is F-L-E-M-O-N-S. Because my name is so rare, you will see me quite easily on Facebook. Just send me a friend request. I will accept that friend request. Then you should be able to have access to anything on my what they call timeline, anything I post. So right now, the main thing I post are our worship and wellness. So you'll just see video after video after video each day. So you're definitely welcome to come on. I would love to have you as a Facebook friend, and you'd actually be watching this presentation on video as opposed to just listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. And we still need to talk, okay?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. We are now going to Sister Odessa, and then we have Sister Lenny after that. Go ahead, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Brother Pastor and Sister Maria. God bless you all. That's my dear friend, Sister Leilani. I've been knowing her for a long time, and I introduce her to this, to your broadcast. I'm so glad she's on and listening. I do know the friend that she's talking to, and I'm trying to also witness to her. And I'm asking God for patience and prayer for the young lady, because she is a very sweet young lady. But we want her to know the truth. I just want to thank everyone on the prayer line. You know, a while back, I had been praying for a vehicle. And God truly blessed me with a vehicle on yesterday. And so Amen. I am so ecstatic that I can be able to help the needy, the sick, the shut-in, and the homeless. So I'm just praising God, and I just want to thank everyone for their prayers and their support. And I tell you, I just love this prayer ministry. I love the broadcast, and I'm continuing to pray for everyone. And I'm just truly thankful because I've been off and on this prayer line for the last 6 years. It'll be 7 years in September. The time has really went by fast. And I just love you all to greatly. I love everyone on the list. I've met quite a few on the prayer line that has truly been a blessing, and I keep in touch with them. So God bless you and Sister Maria. And I just want to say happy preparation day. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Sister Lenny, good morning.
Good morning. And I am requesting special prayer for my family, especially the young people. I have my oldest granddaughter is very sick right now with COVID. And my oldest grandson is very sick with a really bad virus. He and my little great-granddaughter, I'm asking special prayer for them. You know, the young people, especially I'm talking about my family, they don't listen. When you give them preventative things, you know, you can't make nobody do anything. But when I give them preventative things, they sometimes look at me like, you know, where do I come from or something like that. But they really need prayer because they don't understand that if you use a preventative, it will stop a whole lot of sicknesses and diseases, you know. So I'm just asking you to pray for them. And as God opens their eyes, I can, you know, help them if they want the help. But they really need prayer because sometimes I don't think they realize what they're doing and what they're saying. So if you can just pray for my granddaughter and my grandson and baby, I would really appreciate it. I am still praying for Sister Odessa. I pray for everybody on the line. I'm still praying for Brother Joseph, you know, every day. So I thank you for praying for my family.
Amen. 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 Praise God. All right, friends, there's no one else in the queue. And it is about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. It's been a great morning worship and wellness time. We'll turn it over to, well, we've got one more call. We've got Sister Desiree. Hold on. We'll take that call as well. Good morning, Sister Desiree. Check your mute, Sister Desiree.
Oh, good morning, and happy preparation day. I'm getting out the car here if you hear any rumblings here. I just wanted to say that I know that in coming up and going to church on Sunday, I think sometimes we can be led astray because it's also taught to subliminally. It's almost taught in what was called a Protestant teaching, almost like, listen to me, I'm your pastor. Listen to me, I'm your leader. And it's subliminal. They don't, and then sometimes it is outright said, you know, but a lot of it's subliminal and suggested. So people just take, they don't see those scriptures that says study to show thyself approved. So a lot of us, and I'm going to be quite honest, don't know how to study. And if we didn't have a shepherd, that's why he says sometimes, the sheep are, and please don't take this the wrong way, nobody. Sheep are dumb because they go from every wind of doctrine, from this leader to that leader to this new way, because it's new to them because they never heard it before. So sometimes we could teach those, because if you go on for years and years under that, you do need someone to show you how to study the right way, so that you'll be able to study for yourself, because when these last days come, you may be by yourself and know how to stand and be rooted and grounded in His Word. And I just wanted to say that a lot, that's where a lot of that comes from.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister. God bless you, and may God keep you safe today. All right. We'll now turn it over to my wife, I'm dreamed up, to take us to a point of conclusion here on the broadcast.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. And as we go about your day of preparation, help us to be ready to usher in the beautiful and holy Sabbath. Lord, we ask that your Spirit will continue to guide us, giving us instruction, direction, guidance, helping us, Lord, to keep our lives on the right path of righteousness. Help us to do all we can to stay faithful to you. And allow your Spirit to teach us, Lord, the things we need to know so that we will always be in a state of doing. And Father, we pray that you will bless the efforts that have been put into our ministers of this community. By the two sisters that requested prayer for him. Go down to your Spirit, Lord.
You're kind of muffled, honey. I'm so sorry.
So to your Spirit, Lord, the best way to minister to her and or to them, for them to be able to minister to her, and allow her, Lord, to be able to be open, show them the word to you, so direction to guide them through your word. And we pray that you will bless the Selene and her grandchildren. We understand they are not well. The ones that she had mentioned, and it's the status that they would be healed in accordance with their perfect will. Pray for the youth in her family. We know that it is difficult at times to reach young people. Their lives are not fully developed. They don't understand things, and they tend to want to do what they think is best for them. But we know that the interests of our hearts are always in the best interest for them. So we just pray that she would be with these young people and be with the parents, help the parents' minds to be spiritually directed in the efforts of healing in a natural way. And we pray that, and we thank you, Lord, for Sister Odessa being able to get a car. We thank you for answering that petition. We know that that's what she's been asking for quite some time now, a few years. And so we're glad that you were able to let her car get her from point A to point B, from B to C, all the places she needed to go until you were able to replace it. And we just pray, Lord, that she will truly use it for ministry as she has mentioned. And we thank you for her patience and her diligence and her faith and knowing that you have prepared for this part to be truly the one for her in this time. Thank you for taking care of that need for her. And we do pray that you continue to bless our lovers in Israel. And we ask, Lord, that every heart would be surrendered to you and that peace would be granted in abundance. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name as we ask for these petitions to be answered in accordance with his perfect will. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God would open you before us now and join us. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
God bless you, friends. We'll be back on tomorrow morning, and we have Zoom church service also. We'll talk about that in the morning. God bless you. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.